shocking twist. Nobody's ever asked me to pose for Playboy.
I find that truly unbelievable.
I can't believe I've never been a centerfold.
Yeah, I can't either.
You know what I mean?
Make it happen.
Make it happen,
Make
Internet.
Make it happen.
Hi, Jillian Benzavalli.
Hello, Patrick Hines.
Oh, fam. Hey, couple of things. Join the Facebook group. It's True Crime Obsessed podcast discussion group. There's over 50,000 people in there. I am doing watch parties for the foreseeable future every Sunday-ish. Sometimes it's a different day.
Okay.
It's open to anybody. I'm doing watch parties for our Patreon episodes. You don't have to be on the Patreon to do it.
Yeah.
But you do have to be in the Facebook group.
Okay.
So do it. You know, meet your friends.
And it's like a chat.
It's a chat. Okay. We watch it all together. And then I throw out a Zoom link at the end. And we all sort of get together and decompress afterwards.
Oh my God, love has won.
Yes. And like... So you'll get all the information in the Facebook group. Also, on the Patreon, if you do decide to join up, you get a full bonus episode every single week, ad-free.
Yeah. Yeah, so you get the ad-free versions of these episodes, but then that's where we're doing like Love is One and Natalia Grace. And
Twin Flames.
Twin Flames and all that stuff. So all those stuff. Like series.
Yeah.
Things with multiple episodes.
We're also doing a monthly virtual drag bingo.
Yeah.
We're doing Patreon virtual happy hour. The community is very strong on the Patreon.
It's true.
The community is strong on the Patreon.
There you go.
What are we talking about today, girl?
So this is the first episode of a show called The Playboy Murders, and it's called Bunny Meets Bachelor, but it's a stupid name. It's
we
actually
gotta stop it
we
with
have
that.
To stop. It's the murder of Jasmine Fiore.
Jasmine loved being at the Playboy Mansion, and she had the perfect body, perfect smile, long blonde hair, just your perfect Playboy model.
Hi, I'm Jasmine, and today we're at sea level.
To be a playmate, it's a ticket to the high life. And Jasmine saw that.
You know, the world was pretty much her oyster, just waiting for her to crack it open.
Men want to date a Playboy model, but they're also simultaneously very, very jealous.
They didn't love each other. He didn't even like her, and she didn't like him.
She sends a text, send a plane for me, come get me.
Yeah, I'm just like, what?
I had to double take when I found out that she had been married before.
I was just like, no. No one who loved a human being would do this.
I didn't know what I was getting into here. Mm-hmm. I thought it was one ongoing case. No. There are enough women who have posed for Playboy who have been murdered mm-hmm. that they made an entire episodic TV series about it.
Yeah. We're going to do the one on Stacey Arthur who was in... She came up in the Chippendales episode.
Oh.
So there's an episode on... Like, it's a very shady, dirty, bad world.
I
that
know.
Whole scene. It's scary.
So this one starts. It's August 15th, 2009. We're in where are we?
Buena Park, California.
Buena Park. Never heard of it.
I have a B.
You know
Do
what?
You have
you're
a
right.
V?
I have a V. You know why? The B and the V are very close
They're
to each other on the
they?
Keyboard.
Yeah.
I think there was a little slip of the finger,
That's
GP.
All right. No problem.
A little slip. I was like, Buena Park?
No.
But it sounds
Buena Park.
It sounds gorgeous.
Buena Park. Yeah.
But it opens in a really, really terrible way. There's a man out collecting like cans, and he's at a dumpster, and he finds a suitcase. Which clearly inside of it is a dead person, and he thinks it's like a kid.
Right. It is not a child. It's a petite woman.
The adult female was nude, but you couldn't really see her face because the way the body was positioned inside a suitcase.
I started looking at all the fingers. I realized they were all missing. Thumbs, fingers. And I looked at the coroner and said, her teeth are going to be missing too.
So the person who killed this person was clearly trying to make this body not identifiable.
And at first, the cops are like, who did this? Like, the cartel, a serial killer? And I'm like, whatever happened to starting close to our victim and working our way out?
I just
want to the cartel right away?
Well, they do say they're like, it's close to the border. This is like a cartel neighborhood.
You start
You don't want to look at the cartel. Is there anything you want to tell me, Jillian?
I'm not saying anything
You're trying
about
to point
cartel.
People away from the cartel. Okay.
They will. Right. You do not fuck with the cartel. I'm saying nothing.
Who in the cartel is it paid at the five? I'm dying to know.
Let the record show there is no record.
I know. You said nothing.
I've said nothing.
The loud gay guy is the one making the jokes.
That's very
First
true.
One to die.
They will kill you in your whole family.
I know. But I did want to say that the cops are truly horrified.
Yes, like, yes. You,
and I think what they're saying is that like this death is so violent and it is so extreme with the taking off of the fingers and the teeth that like what person who isn't in a cartel would do that?
Yes.
You know what
there
I mean?
There's a lot of...
I'm sorry, cartels. I'm not trying to get on your bad side, but you're not known for your nice, neat, you know, pain-free murders.
I would stop talking about the cartel.
Okay. Tom, keep it on and I'm not scared.
Yeah. they will kill you and your whole family.
Okay.
And everyone you ever met. They,
but even they would say, you're right, like, we don't murder people kindly.
No,
right?
They want you to be terrified.
Of course.
They want you to live in fear.
I'm paying them a compliment, Julian.
It's true. I am moving on. Okay.
You're really scared.
They will fucking kill you. They've killed, like, soccer players.
Okay, but you're scared.
Crazy.
Okay.
The mob I can take, no problem.
Okay, great.
During the autopsy, they realized that this woman had breast implants.
During the autopsy, they removed her breast implants. Every prosthetic, including breast implants, have serial numbers on them.
Her name was Jasmine Fuel.
Every prosthetic, like including
yes.
breast implants, they have serial numbers on them.
But this is not the first time that this has happened. Like recently we did another case where the person was identified through the breast implant serial number.
It's great. Like it's a way, because this son of a bitch thought they did everything they could to stop the person from being ID'd, and that's not the case.
It actually gave me a little bit of pause of like, I don't want people to be mutilated in even more horrible ways now that we know that this is another
that's
way
true.
To identify people.
Yeah. No.
I was almost like, let's keep this secret to ourselves.
I know.
You know? But the breast implants to the rescue, fam.
Yeah, they ID her as Jasmine Fiore. She's 28 years old, and she's a former Playboy model.
I cannot get it out of my head what the person, what the killer did to make this body not identifiable, and it's still so fucking stupid.
And we still got him,
we
son of a
still
bitch.
We still got this son of a bitch.
Travel down the road and back again.
Girl, Field of Greens is a new sponsor this month. It is the healthiest thing I do every day. And I want you on this journey with me because I am truly obsessed.
Yeah, so it's really easy. It's literally, it's one scoop a day.
Yes.
It tastes really great. They have like a plain flavor, but they also have the like wild berry flavor.
Yes.
And like strawberry lemonade and lemon lime.
The wild berry is what I'm obsessed with.
Yeah. And it like, it's just a way to completely improve your life. They say it's nutrition the way nature intended.
Well, because each scoop contains a serving of both fruits and vegetables, and all you have to do is mix it with the water. And they say no more excuses and no more salads. And I gotta tell you, I went through a salad phase, which I'm kind of like over the salads right now. So this is my salad replacement and I'm obsessed.
Yeah, and each organic fruit and vegetable was medically chosen.
Whoa.
So they're meant to support heart and vital organ health, which is why like you'll feel more energy throughout the day.
And you'll trust Field of Greens to keep you healthy.
Yeah.
We need new ways to be eating healthy foods. It can't just be like salad and grilled chicken. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, and I also want to, like, healthy also means like you sleep better.
Yes.
And your hair and skin are healthier and it helps with digestion. It's not just like the stereotypical, like, I feel fit.
No,
you know?
Yes.
It's really working like from the inside out.
And you know when you're feeling more healthy overall.
Oh my God.
You know what I mean?
It's easier to get up in the morning. It honestly is.
So I love it. But fam, if for any reason you don't, they give you a 100% money back guarantee. You're not going to need it, but it's there.
Yeah. And we're hooking you up because we got you 15% off your first order plus free rush shipping. Not just free shipping.
No, you're going to get it.
Rushing it.
You're
going to
get it quick. I'm going to run it to your house myself. Fam, visit fieldofgreens.com and use promo code TCO.
That's promo code TCO at fieldofgreens.com.
Fieldofgreens.com, promo code TCO. Fam, do it. I'm obsessed.
Yeah.
No more salads for you this week.
Right. If you want a salad, that's great.
Sure.
But here's an option.
There's
another option. One scoop. So Stacey Burke is here. She's a model and Hugh Hefner's former girlfriend. Boo to Hugh Hefner.
We officially don't like the Hef.
We despise Hugh Hefner.
Tell
We're not
me
even
everything.
Calling him the Hef.
Okay, great.
He's like an abuser and a rapist and a fucking creep. We hate him.
Great. I am on board.
So we love Holly Madison. This is Holly Madison's show.
Oh, she's, it is?
Yeah, it's her thing. She's great. But a lot of women have now spoken out against the like atrocities that they dealt with at the Playboy Mansion.
Of course. I mean, my God. You see 20 seconds of these parties. And you're like, oh my God.
So Stacey Burke is here and she saw this on the news and she's Jasmine's friend and she's like, I just talked to her.
Yeah.
I can't believe this. And we meet this guy, AJ, who's a former CEO of Playboy Golf. I have notes for AJ.
Okay.
I find him very annoying. I'm sorry.
I got notes for Playboy Golf. We'll get there when we get there.
Right. And then Mark Ebner, this investigative journalist who is so gross.
When I heard that a Playboy party hostess had been murdered and dismembered, that's all I needed to jump on this story.
He's like, a Playboy bunny, I'm in. Like, he jumps on the story because it's like
because
sexy
it was
and salacious. Like, give me a break.
A Playboy bunny that was murdered and dismembered. We've seen him before. He's been in other episodes.
He's like, I'm in. Ooh, a Playboy bunny, shut up.
He was maybe in the Bling Ring episode or something, but he's been with us before in other, like, stories like this.
Everyone step aside because Holly Madison is here.
I love how much you love her.
I love her.
Okay,
I do. I think she's great.
Okay.
This is like her,
I follow her
on TikTok. I think she's great.
Oh, really?
Yeah, she's fun. And she has like the ultimate point of view from inside the Playboy world because if you remember remember, she was like Hugh Hefner's like main girlfriend.
She was like for a long time.
She was on the show. I can't remember the name of the show.
I know. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The reality show with her and the other girlfriends,
yes,
right? Like they,
yeah.
She was like the head girlfriend.
And is Hefner still alive?
No, fuck him.
He's dead. And does she say bad things about him?
She's doing the show for a reason.
Okay.
Do you know what I mean?
Right, because if there's enough of these women that have been murdered, that should tell you something about the company this guy kept.
You're not, like, treated well. Or they're just not protected in any way.
Right. I mean, it's just, like, the exploitation to the all the way to the end.
Right, right, right. And, like, Hugh Hefner alone is also his own shitty animal,
yeah,
you know? But Stacey Burke was one of Hefner's girlfriend for a time, and that's how she and Holly became friends.
Right. And so Stacey knew Jasmine, our victim. Holly says she knew her only in hindsight, so it doesn't seem like they were, like, friends or they knew each other very well, but they were all in the same Playboy Mansion circle.
Right. So Stacey explains how Jasmine got into this world. She
yes.
was invited to some of the parties.
Let me ask you, so they're called the Fun in the Sun parties. Is somebody like Jasmine invited as a guest or she's invited to work the parties?
I think she's invited as a guest. Like, because here's the thing, you had to wear a bikini.
Yeah.
And they say, quote, they had to fit a certain beauty standard, but it's Hugh Hefner's beauty standard.
Right.
Hef looked over Polaroids of women to see if he thought they were, you know, measuring up to be a pool party girl.
Jasmine loved being at the Playboy Mansion. She fit right in. She was tan, she was blonde, big boobs, perfect Playboy type.
The perfect Playboy type. And that's a quote.
For Hugh Hefner.
Yeah.
Like his standard of beauty, which is
right,
like, and
right.
I'm not saying she's not beautiful, but you know, you hear me.
And Stacey was saying, like, you would think that she would be stuck up because she was like so hot and like, you know, fit right in, but she wasn't. She said she was very sweet, soft-spoken, nice and courteous.
Yeah. And now we learn about like the Playboy era of the 2000s.
Yeah.
The early 2000s.
It was a lifestyle. Like if you would get invited to these parties and be in the scene, like it was the whole scene. It like, it holds obviously no appeal for me.
Sure.
But like even looking at the parties, I'm like, that doesn't look fun. The parties don't look fun.
No, and I think for the women, they're very much not fun. I'll get into my thoughts on this later.
Who else is there? So is it like, is it men? Like, who is invited to these parties?
It's interesting because a lot of the footage, it's a lot of women.
Right.
And I think much like the Mormon polygamists and
uh-huh.
the cults, it's like Hugh Hefner didn't really like a lot of men around.
Uh-huh.
It was all like really like for him and his needs and his wants.
Right. Because it's not like famous. It's not like you're not seeing like Jack Nicholson at the parties.
No,
it's like,
but there definitely were parties where it's like, oh, a party at the mansion, like I'm in. Like
okay.
they're definitely like, I think Jack Nicholson was definitely there for sure.
He seems like, I don't know why he was the first one to come to mind, but he seems exactly
especially
like the
especially in like the 80s,
totally.
The 70s and 80s. Totally.
We should just start calling him Dirtbag Jack Nicholson.
Jack Nicholson. He's always at the basketball games, right?
Always like courtside.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Remember when the Menendez brothers were in the background of that basketball player's card?
Yeah. It's,
somebody
it's still
sent
out.
One to me. I have a copy.
Yeah.
Of it.
A lot of people have it.
It's wild.
It's crazy. So it was like a lifestyle brand, basically,
yes.
right? So the Playboy golf tournaments were a big part of it.
It's so rich old white guy. You know what I mean? Like that is exactly
right.
Like, I was like, the Playboy golf, nothing to me in the world is less sexy than golf.
Well, they're you trying to make it sexy because the whole thing, like
they're
we get 10
sexy
minutes.
Back.
Yeah, we're getting like 10 minutes of like, usually golf is quiet with all
right.
these rules.
When we went on the golf course, we weren't quiet on the course. We had DJs, we had games and fun, and there are some guys that never took their golf clubs out of their cart.
Just like at every hole, there was like a booth where women were handing out shots.
Most of the guys didn't even touch the golf clubs all day.
Yes.
Like, you were drinking and dancing and hanging with the Playboy models, doing shots. They had them in states all across the country.
And that's, like, that's what I think bothered me the most about the pictures of the parties was it didn't seem like there was enough drinking. If I'm being honest.
Oh,
like
there's plenty.
Okay. Because I was like, does that Hugh Hefner guy not like alcohol? I could see him being one of those stick in the muds. Like, come to my pool
the
party.
The Girls Next Door. That's the name of the show.
Yeah,
the Girls Next Door.
You did it.
I did it. Yay. I did it.
Hear a bell for you.
Yeah.
It just seems like there wasn't enough drinking. That's
yeah.
all I wanted to say.
I think on that show there were like a lot of rules
uh-huh.
for the girlfriends, right?
Yeah.
Holly, correct
know.
Me if I'm wrong.
Okay.
Holly's the authority on this. But in 2004, Jasmine becomes a Playboy golf girl. The girls
That's
of Playboy
so,
golf.
Like it's just, it's like, it sounds like everybody's grandpa's favorite magazine.
I know.
Playboy golf.
Oh, like Playboy golf. Like, ooh. I'm sure, whatever. But AJ is the head of the golf stuff. And
yes.
I'm sorry, but he's so annoying because he says really obvious things where he's like, Jasmine had a smile, right?
Yeah.
And so with the smile, she would charm you. And I'm like, yes, thank you. I know how smiles work.
Oh.
Like, he would say it as, like, Jasmine had the smile,
yeah,
right?
Yeah,
are you following?
Yeah, yeah.
She had a smile.
Yes.
And when she smiled, it was, like, a nice feeling. Do you see what I'm saying? I'm like, AJ, I know.
They say that, like, on these golf tournaments, because, like you were saying, they had, like, 35 events a year, thousands of people, thousands of girls, it says, and people could really get a taste of Hef's life. And my note, I forgot I wrote this, said, straight life is a whole different life.
It's just like a bunch of gorgeous girls and like a lot of insecure men.
Is there anything in the world straighter than golf? Can you think of a single thing straighter than golf? Even football is gayer.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like golf is about like as straight as cricket.
What's
cricket? Is British, so it's obviously a little bit gay.
Oh, okay.
It's just automatically gayer.
Is that with horses?
No. Cricket is, I feel like it's like tennis or something.
Right, yes. Okay, sorry.
But like they wear those super short shorts. They'll have to wear white and sweaters. Gay.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Okay.
But like
I don't know what I thought cricket was. But now that you're saying it, I'm like, obviously, no, that's cricket. Yes. No, I was
going to
say like.
Golf is just as straight as it gets.
I was going to say like rowing, but even that's kind of gay.
Even that's pretty gay. I mean, because you're getting all sweaty.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Golf is, I think, did we find it?
It's...
Is that why neither of us have ever had any interest in golf?
No, golf is as straight as it gets.
It's a big straight dad thing.
It's a big straight dad thing.
You know?
We did it. We nailed it.
So in 2005, Jasmine gets promoted. And
yes.
She's asked to help coordinate these events in Vegas and LA. And she's super excited.
And like, I love that about these people. Like, what a fun thing. Like they see that you're good at your job. I defer to you. You are the boss on who we like and who we don't like here. Mostly because we're talking about the objectification of women.
Sure.
So I'm not trying to like wade into those waters. But like this guy, AJ, does really seem to care about Jasmine. And I think that he likes his job and he was trying to give her an opportunity and she was really into taking the opportunity. And I just love it when that happens.
I agree. I just wish the opportunity wasn't exploiting her so much.
Yeah.
You know?
But I gotta say, I think some of these women don't think of it as being exploited.
Yeah. I'll expand on that in a minute.
Okay. Again, I am here to be educated. If I am wrong on this, I want to know.
We just need Holly Madison here,
I know.
So, Jasmine's upbringing. She grew up outside Santa Cruz, California.
She was an only child, but she wasn't a silver spoon kid or a trust fund kid by any stretch of the imagination. Her father left her mother when she was 9 years old, leaving her mother limited resources to raise her alone.
And her mother had limited resources as a single mom.
Yeah.
So by 2006, she was... So, like, the fact that she's getting all these gigs doing what she wants to do is, like, amazing. She's working her way up.
I mean, they say that, like... Are we allowed to say tomboy anymore? They say that she was a little bit of a tomboy.
Okay.
And then they say at one point, like, in her teens or whatever, she went on a race car expedition across the country.
Yeah.
What the hell is a race car expedition?
I don't know. You're like, not driving the race car.
No, but it seems like it tracks that if you're into that kind of life, that you'd end up in this kind of life.
Because they do have, like the car models.
Totally.
So that's probably what she was doing. Just like a really gorgeous woman standing next to a car.
Yeah.
Very
exactly.
Straight.
Yes.
Race car driving is straight.
It is. You're right. That is very straight.
Even though there's like a lot of, it's pretty colorful.
It is colorful.
The cars are all different colors.
Yeah.
There's a lot of like pizzazz to
it. I agree. I'm still going to go with golf is straighter.
No, golf is
straighter than race car driving.
Yes, definitely.
For sure. Fam, get in the Facebook group. If you can think of anything straighter than golf, I want to know.
A straighter sport than golf.
I know. You are so perplexed.
You're really
trying to come up with it.
But I think you got it.
I think that's it.
If it ain't broke, you know.
I know.
Travel down the road back again.
Girl, Hydro is a new sponsor this month. It's a rowing machine. And guess what? They sent us one because I am obsessed with rowing. It is a major part of the workout that I do almost every single day. And I want to talk about it for 5 hours.
Yeah, let me tell you. So the whole thing about rowing and rowing machines is that it's like the ultimate full body workout.
Yes,
let me throw a number at you.
Uh-huh.
It works 86% of your muscles, like arms, legs, core. It takes 20 minutes and you're working almost your entire body.
Yeah, it's super low impact. I used to run and it was killing my back. Rowing with Hydro is super low impact, which means it's minimal risk of injury. And every workout leaves me feeling fantastic. I'm doing that thing where I'm trying to time myself for my 2000 meter. I'm trying to get it under 8 minutes and I'm like working on it every day with my Hydro.
Yeah, and if you're sitting here thinking, yeah, but I don't know what to do. Don't worry. They have workouts that they lead you through, and these workouts are led by Olympians.
Yes.
If that means anything to you, which it should. World-class athletes, top-tier coaches, and it doesn't matter what your fitness level is. If you're like, I always kind of wanted to get into this, but I didn't know, this is exactly for you.
The other thing, too, is with Hydro, it's easy to stay motivated. With like a lot of these other companies or whatever, like it's a fad and you get into it for like 2 or 3 weeks or a month or whatever. With Hydro, 90% of customers are still active after 1 year. It's amazing.
That's amazing. And Hydro has you covered with free standard shipping, a 30-day risk-free trial, and and a one-year warranty. So you're hooked up.
Yeah, I cannot tell you, working at home with Hydro, if I had to go to the gym every day, I might not do it. With Hydro at my house, I can work on my fitness every single day. Fam, be your best by joining the growing rowing community at Hydro.
Head over to Hydro.com and use code TCO to save up to $400 off your Hydro.
That's HYDROW.com, code TCO, to save up to $400, fam.
Hydro.com, code TCO.
Get into it, fam. Join me on the journey to get your 2,000 meters under 8 minutes. Let's see if we can do it.
Oh my God. I know. Who is this person? Talk to me. By 2006, Jasmine was splitting her time between Vegas and LA. She's getting like all this modeling experience. She's really coming up in that world.
That is the dream. Like, you did it, Jasmine. You did it.
And like, for most women in the scene, all these little gigs are stepping stones.
Yes.
Because the goal is to be featured in the magazine. So if you're around enough, if you're making all these connections and networking, like.
Which even in 2006, that surprised me, because we're going to meet somebody later who calls herself a cyber girl. So she was like on the website.
Yeah.
But like, the goal is still to be a centerfold in the actual magazine.
Being in the magazine is, I think, totally different. It's like a...
I thought all magazines were dead by then, but I guess not.
No.
Okay. I mean, like a nudie magazine, I guess, never dies.
Yeah.
That's never going to go out of
style. I guess in this time, what year is this? 2006? Yeah, around this time, yeah, I had a roommate who I lived with a straight guy. No, like, totally platonic. It was fine.
Yeah.
But we had Playboy because he got it in the mail.
He did?
Yeah.
I'm not, like, it's like, so, I mean, okay.
Yeah.
I mean, like, okay, great.
Yeah, it's exactly what you think it is.
Yeah. Oh, I mean, I'm very familiar with Playboy.
Okay,
like,
yeah.
You can't possibly have grown up in our age. I mean, I know I'm older than you, but like, everybody's dad had Playboy.
Right.
It's just, and it was not even a magazine that you hid. It was like in the bathroom.
Right, because like, they had some really good articles. There were articles that sort of like blew things wide open.
You want to know who one of the first people to write for Playboy was E. Jean Carroll.
Oh,
and
wow.
I was just listening to a whole podcast about her. She was back when Playboy was really, everyone bought Playboy because the articles were amazing.
Yeah.
Like, writers like E. Jean Carroll wrote for Playboy. Yeah, no, like, it was legit, for sure.
If you don't know, the joke that we're sort of referencing is, oh, I just get Playboy for the articles.
Yeah.
There's truth in that.
There is a ton of truth in that.
You know, like, Meghan Draper in Mad Men, she reads Playboy.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, funny.
And that just shows, like, she's cool. She's, like, kind of, she's not threatened by it. She's into her sexuality. You know, it's, like, a cool
thing.
Totally.
But, like, so this is what Jasmine wants. Her whole dream is to be a centerfold. And Holly Madison is explaining to us.
Jasmine had the typical California girl look. She was tall with a beautiful body. Usually that was the type of look that Hef really liked for the centerfolds.
But Jasmine understood that, you know, a centerfold, it's rare. It's 12 a year. And that's it.
There's only 12 women a year who can get that gig.
Yeah.
And at that time, we were getting thousands of submissions a month. But she's like, Jasmine rocked. And even if she didn't get the centerfold, there were still tons of opportunity for her within the Playboy world.
Which is what she's doing. The golf stuff. She's being a brand spokesperson. Lots of other things.
It seems very much like a world where the women support each other. And I love that.
100%.
Yeah.
I always got that. Like, even on The Girls Next Door, like, they were never, like, really fight. Like, they were just, like, all, like, friends.
Well, because they always talk about, like, how Holly was the main girlfriend. And then they're all the... I'm like, I feel like being the main girlfriend is actually
not good.
Nobody actually wants that.
I think Holly would agree. Yeah. That guy AJ, who says very obvious things, is back, and he explains that he says to Jasmine, look, you have to be very careful of people. People aren't always who they, you know, who they say they are,
especially like in this world.
And but like, you're safe with us at the Playboy parties, and we'll watch out for you. But if you leave, which we can't stop you from doing, we can't control what happens. I have a few things to say about this.
Okay.
One, this is a very big claim he's making. Like, I don't know if you can speak for all the women at those parties, AJ, because it seems like a place where drunk guys can get out of hand and feel entitled.
Uh-huh.
If you're a Playboy girl, if you're a Playboy model, I think people get drunk and handsy and you're surrounded by insecure men.
And if Jack Nicholson's at the party and he gets hammered and gets handsy, no one's throwing him
out.
Like,
I wouldn't generalize that these parties are the safest place for a woman.
Because
that's number one.
That's truly what he was making me feel like.
And also, is that a threat? Like, it sounds incredibly manipulative. And I don't know if that's how he meant it, but it's coming across as like, if you stay here, we can protect you. But if you go out into the big scary world, we can.
Yeah.
And it felt like a way to keep her feeling that she's safe. But I promise you, if we spoke to some women who were at those parties.
Yes.
I'm sure you do have a lot of control when you're in that, when you're the woman there. But
there must be a hierarchy. Like, again, like, if you're just like a me off the street, then of course I'm going to get my ass kicked if I do anything inappropriate.
Right.
But if you're Jack Nicholson, that's not happening.
And it's like, I just don't know if it's the safest room for her to be in, AJ.
Totally.
But really generalizing like that.
I love the dirtbagization of Jack Nicholson that's happening on this episode.
Now, now we jump to August 17th, 2009, and it's 2 days after Jasmine's body is found. And the cops have ID'd Jasmine.
Yeah.
And they want to see if she's been reported missing, and she was.
She was reported missing on the day that her body was found. This is when we find out that she's married. She's married to a guy named Ryan Jenkins. I was like, oh, that came out of nowhere.
As soon as we know about Ryan Jenkins and that he is the person who reported Jasmine Fury missing, we are frantically trying to get a hold of him. We get his phone number off the report, so we know it's his phone, and we are calling and calling, and he's just not picking up the phone for us.
He's not picking up.
Which,
and I'm,
I was like, that doesn't look at all suspicious, Ryan.
Yeah, and I'm like, this is why you start with the husband.
Exactly.
I'm just saying, everybody.
Right, leave the cartels out of it.
You start with the husband.
So they finally get him on the phone, and he's like, yes, I did report her missing, but I gotta go back to Canada right
he's
now.
He's in Canada right now.
He's like, I'm having visa issues, so I can't, I really can't be bothered, but you found her and she's dead, you say.
Yeah, and I'm like, what?
I know.
And now we take a hard left turn because we learn that Ryan Jenkins was on a reality show called Megan Wants a Millionaire. And it was like months before Jasmine's murder.
And I was like, why have I never heard of this show?
We'll find out.
To be determined.
Now, Megan Hauserman is a Playboy model. She was a cyber girl, which is what they called it if you were featured on the website. She was basically a professional party girl.
Yes.
She loved every second of it. She was modeling. She had a permanent spot on every Playboy party, like guest list.
And she's explaining that like Playboy was promoting a ton of stuff. Back then, like they had a clothing line, so she would do like runway shows. They had like a concierge service, so she was going to every nightclub to promote their Playboy concierge service.
She was like, my life was amazing. Like she was a professional. Professional, like, beautiful party girl.
She's very similar to Holly Madison. You can tell she's very intelligent. She's beautiful, obviously. And she's very calm and soft-spoken, but very self-assured. Like, there does seem to be a type, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, she's very, like, I don't know, there's something, her and Holly seem very alike.
Yeah. So it was 2007, and she was very busy with reality TV to continue with Playboy. She did Rock of Love with Bret Michaels from Poison.
Oh, really?
And then I guess from there, she was offered her own show.
Uh-huh.
So the show is Megan Wants a Millionaire. It's very simple, everyone. She's single. She wants a guy with money. The end. Megan Wants a Millionaire. It's all there in the name.
I mean, they get 17 bachelors. They each have to just tell somebody that they have a net worth of $1 million or
Nobody
more.
Nobody checks.
Nobody checks.
And so they, like, the casting agency went to nightclubs and interviewed, like, these different men to find these guys that had like $1 million. And the line she says, they show a clip from the show, because you know it's like you get the rose or whatever the line is where it's like, will you stay to be my whatever?
To be my millionaire?
Hers is,
14 of you are pre-approved. 3 of you will be declined.
14 of you are pre-approved. 3 of you will be declined. Like, get it?
Yeah.
Get it? So Ryan Jenkins is on the show. He came from a big, rich, wealthy oil town, oil family. He's got oil money.
She liked him right away because he was wearing purple and she was wearing purple
and her dog was wearing purple.
And there was just sparks flew.
Sparks flew and feeling was mutual. He was writing her love letters, or more accurately, typing them up and using a font he thought looked like handwriting.
Is that right?
That's exactly right. I think it's like papyrus. It's ridiculous.
We had a real relationship happening, but we had to keep it secret.
This is an elimination contest show called Megan Wants a Millionaire. You know, you pretty much have to be a millionaire, don't you?
But it became obvious that he really didn't have much money.
Ryan didn't have any money.
No, so he had told the producers that he was worth $2.5 million, and I guess nobody checked.
No, but they were just like, all right, you're in.
You got a flat stomach and a hard chin line?
Whatever.
Great.
Like,
get over
are
here.
You Megan's type? Great, come on in.
Yeah.
And Megan's like, I actually, like, this is going to shock everyone, especially me the most, but I don't care that he didn't have any money. I really liked him. I really liked him. So we're down to the wire on the show. It's the last three contestants, and Megan tells the producer, look, I'm picking Ryan as the winner.
Yeah.
And the producer's like, yeah, no, this is reality TV. This is not how this is going to work. Now, Megan says that was the first time she was made aware that the decision wasn't up to her.
Uh-huh.
And I'm like, I don't know if I 100% buy that.
I mean, it was definitely not the first time she was told. It might be the first time that she understood.
Because she was on a dating show before this.
Yeah.
The producers are involved all season. We will learn later that she's wearing an earpiece during the elimination. I just don't think it's possible that this is brand new information. But either way, it's time for elimination. And Megan...
Cut to Natalie, who like has to send me like the same thing 80 times because I can never... Like, this is not new information.
Natalie's like, oh my God.
Natalie's like, I got Orion in my life.
This
and he's sitting right in that booth.
Episode is hitting way too close to home for Natalie. So it's time for elimination, and Megan gives us two excuses. So first of all, Megan says she didn't have time to tell Ryan that she wasn't picking him.
Yeah.
But she also couldn't tell him because she jeopardized the show. And I'm like, those are two very valid reasons, but they're very different.
Yeah, I can't imagine, especially now that the producer knows that she wants to pick him. Like, I don't think they're going to let her be alone with him. I can kind of see, like, them keeping them apart, you know?
So it's time for elimination. Megan is shaking.
We watch it.
And the producers are telling her what to do through an earpiece. And, like, I guess we're supposed to believe this is the first time they've done that on the show. Megan eliminates Ryan, and it does not go well.
You can see him. Like, we don't hear his response.
Yeah.
He gets declined.
Right.
And she says that he's screaming, like, no, 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 it's not true.
Right.
And I was like, huh.
And so Holly makes some really great points about reality shows.
Yeah.
And she would know. And she's like, look.
A lot of times reality shows don't have a lot of regard for the people involved because they want to get the story. That's the first priority. They want a TV show that's going to grab eyes and that everybody's going to watch. So they're going to get the content they want. They're going to edit it the way they want. You know, they're going to make you say what they want you to say, basically.
Nobody really cares about Megan's feelings or Ryan's feelings or what turn of events, like, or what, like, they, this could set in motion.
Yeah. Oh,
in
God.
Any way. Like, yeah. They're just like, oh, fuck it. But also, but, like, they weren't going to air that drama, or maybe they were. I don't know. We never got that far.
Yeah. Girl, this message is sponsored by Greenlight.
Love it.
In my family, we are obsessed with Greenlight. Greenlight is a debit card and money app made for families. Can I show you something?
Please, please, please.
This is the debit card.
Wait, that's golden on
it. Fam, you can't see it, but you can customize the debit card for your kiddos. Ours has golden on it.
That is adorable.
Daisy is obsessed. So the way this works, you can send your kids instant money transfers, get real-time notifications on spending, manage chores, and automate allowance. So we obviously manage chores and automate allowance. She gets $9 a week because she's 9 years old. She's got to set the table every night. She's got to make her bed every morning.
Wow.
And then we can go to the app and she can see how much money is on her debit card. And she's like, literally, Daisy is learning to save money because there's, like, things she wants to get.
And it's hers. So this is a way to help your kids build financial literacy and get some independence.
Yes.
So they can, like, learn about earning and saving and spending wisely.
Yep.
And the Greenlight app also comes with an in-app financial literacy game. It's called Level Up. And so it helps kids build money confidence through videos and little challenges and mini games. And so much more.
Daisy loves those as well. And guess what, fam? I'm one of more than 6 million parents and kids who use Greenlight to learn how to make responsible financial choices. This is one of those things. I'm all in on this. I think this is really, really amazing.
It's smart.
And it's getting Daisy to do her chores.
Oh, I mean.
So, fam, stop putting off the, quote, money talk and start putting your kids on the right path.
Sign up for Greenlight today and get your first month free at greenlight.com/TCO.
That's greenlight.com/TCO to try Greenlight for free.
Greenlight.com/TCO.
Do it. If you got a kiddo out there, get them a Greenlight debit card. It's pretty amazing.
It's really fun.
I know it is. I even like it.
It's really cool. I like it. So Ryan's eliminated and he gets back to his hotel and he's calling Megan over 100 times, over and over and over again.
And she says that she's, like, getting ready to fly to Mexico to film the finale, so she couldn't answer the phone. I don't know,
Megan. And the producers were with her. So she says she couldn't really speak freely anyway.
Yes. And, like, I think too that she may have seen a side of Ryan in that moment that she didn't recognize.
It was a new side.
Because he's angry. And we're going to learn when Ryan gets angry, he behaves in not appropriate ways.
So Megan's plan was, I'm going to call him, I'm going to explain, we'll smooth it all over and then live happily ever after.
Yeah.
Meaning that she was going to go to Mexico, choose a winner for the sake of the show with no intention of being with him.
Yeah.
I hope he was on the same page.
I know. Totally.
But 2 days later, Ryan calls Megan and it is a doozy of a phone call.
And before I got to explain to him what happened, he said, I have met the love of my life and I'm married. I really could not believe it because just 2 days before that, he told me he was going to marry me and I was the love of his life.
So don't you worry about me,
don't
Megan.
Don't worry about me. But I mean, like, within 5 days or whatever?
2 days.
2 days.
2 days earlier, he was heartbroken. How could you do this to me? I love you so much. And then within 48 hours, he's married someone. The person he married is Jasmine.
And Jasmine is also a Playboy bunny. Now, I got a real education here about, like, the fact that there are just so many men in the world who just want to marry a Playboy bunny. They don't care who she is. They don't care.
But they don't know what that means.
Right, right. But, like, the status of marrying a Playboy bunny. So he couldn't have Megan. He's got to go out and find himself another one.
Because they just see it as status, or they just
currency.
See her as, like, a beautiful item and not, like, a fully developed person with layers to her.
It's what it says about them. Mom, I married a Playboy bunny.
Exactly.
You know?
Your mother doesn't give a shit.
Right. I don't imagine Ryan has a great relationship with his mom.
I don't think so.
No.
So Jasmine and Ryan met at a nightclub in Vegas. They exchanged numbers. They realize they have the same birthday. This means they're soulmates.
I mean, I'm not saying there's not something to that, but I'm just saying that to me would be like, let's go on a real date.
Yeah.
We just met at 2 in the morning at the slot machines. We have the same birthday. Whoa, maybe we should go to IHOP tomorrow.
They go... Yeah. To the Little White Chapel in Vegas. Let me list off some of the people who got married at this. It's very, very famous. Britney Spears famously got married
that's where
to
she
Jason
got married
Alexander.
In oh my God. To what's his name?
His name is Jason Alexander.
You stop it right now.
Jason Allen Alexander.
Jason Alexander. I know it's not the guy from Seinfeld, but I'd like it to be.
It's not.
Okay. I just got to that part in her book where she gets it annulled.
Oh, yeah.
And like her family were not happy with her.
She was like, whatever.
They were terrible to her.
Drunk in Vegas. What do you want?
I'm Britney fucking
I'm Britney Spears.
I'm Britney bitch.
Can you like stop?
I know.
Natalie Maines.
Really?
Yep.
Why?
I don't know. But this is the guy she wrote the Gaslighter about.
You know who else got married?
Or Tights on My Boat, she wrote.
You know who else got married there?
Who?
My sister.
No, she didn't.
Yeah.
Judy Garland also got married there. Hello?
Really? Wait, yes. They eloped in Vegas. I'm going to find out if that's where they eloped.
Paul Newman, Judy Garland, Frank Sinatra, Patty Duke, Joan Collins.
What?
Bruce Willis and Demi Moore. Or is
what?
It Demi?
I think it could go either way.
David Faustino from Married with Children.
Oh my God.
So many people. Eva Longoria. Like, I'm talking a lot. Christina Milian.
What?
Sinead O'Connor.
May she rest.
Joe Jonas and Sophie Turner.
Oh. By the way.
Team Sophie.
Is there a better 1920s starlet name than Sophie Turner?
She's the greatest name. An icon. Love Sophie.
Okay, great.
Team Sophie.
Oh, me too.
Ben Affleck and Jennifer Lopez in 2022. Like a ton. Go look it up on Wikipedia. There's tons of people. So Jasmine and Ryan, the whole point, Holly's like, here's what's going on.
He presented himself as a very wealthy millionaire that was going to be starring in a TV show that was going to make him famous. She presented herself as a big model, you know, Playboy. And they had the idea that they were going to be this showbiz couple in Vegas. They seemed like a glamorous power couple, but it was all a facade.
But of course, it's all fake.
Because the whole idea is that he's like, I'm about to be on this big reality TV show. It's going to make me a star. And you're a Playboy bunny.
And they just met. They know each other 48 hours.
I know. Sometimes when hotness collides.
It's too much. And remember, Jasmine was doing amazing.
Yeah.
She was making a ton of money. She was doing everything she wants. Now, Ryan, as we just learned, doesn't have any money.
No.
So he was taking Jasmine's hard-earned money.
Yes.
It was just a bad idea all around, right?
Yep.
So they're married for a few weeks. Ryan starts texting Megan, who wants a millionaire.
2 weeks later, he texts Megan and says, I got caught up after the show and made a hasty decision. If you'd like to see if there still could be something, we should talk.
And like, if you're open to it, I'm open to it. And Megan says, like, I had a soft spot for him.
I know.
So yes, I agreed to meet up.
And Megan always takes his call.
Always.
Like, that is a thing here. That, like, she really does have a soft spot for him.
And she says, like, even if we don't get back together, I can at least help him. Like, he seems like he's kind of struggling.
But the
right
way
now.
She wants to help him is to just get her away from that other woman.
Yeah. So, it's August 18th, 2009, 3 days after Jasmine's body is found. Ryan is obviously a person of interest.
Yes.
But they're looking at some other people, too, because there's DNA on Jasmine's body.
Yes.
And they run, it's semen.
Yes.
And they run it, and the DNA is in the system, and it belongs to her ex-husband. And everyone's like, what ex-husband?
Yeah. And we learned that, like, not only is he her ex-husband, his name is Michael Cardozzi. And not only is he her ex-husband, he just got out of prison.
Yeah, he's out on parole.
We learned that 4 days before the body was found, Jasmine had gone to San Diego to greet him as he got out of prison. And they, like, had a long night together. Which is just crazy. Like, she's married to Jenkins.
And they knew that it was falling apart. Like, they knew, like, in the harsh light of day.
Yep.
They just
He's like texting
working.
Megan. She's having sex with her ex-husband. Yeah. Like, get out of this marriage, you guys.
Yeah. But this guy has a very, very solid alibi. He's on parole and he's wearing an ankle bracelet.
Yes.
So, like, he's cleared immediately. He didn't do it. But it just goes to show, like, Jasmine wasn't happy.
Right.
And she, like, I don't know why they broke up or why he was in prison even.
Or why they don't just get the wedding annulled.
But she
know?
Was, like, she was looking for a way out somehow.
We're only 2 weeks in.
Yeah.
It's not like this happened, like, 2 years in. We're 2 weeks in. Like,
I know.
Can still get it annulled. So the cops now are sure that Ryan is their guy and they look more into his background, and they see, as they always do, he's got a criminal history.
And he had a prior domestic violence out of Canada.
He was convicted for assaulting his girlfriend and was sentenced to 15 months probation and a sex addiction therapy program.
He has a history of violence with women.
Yeah, he's controlling and he's jealous.
Yeah.
Megan even says, like, I gotta tell you, he was kind of a nightmare on the show. Like, they were together, but it's a dating reality show. She has to kiss these guys.
Exactly.
Like, she doesn't have to, Megan, do anything you want. But the whole point is, like, will they or won't they? Did she feel a spark? So she's like, I was kissing these other men because it was a dating show.
Like, he at least knew the drill. Like, that's the only reason you're here is to kiss me.
And he couldn't handle it.
Right.
And it's like, it's just a mess. It's all a complete mess.
But this is where Holly tells us that this is really common, that men want to date Playboy models, but then they can't handle the attention that the women get.
She's like, they're way too insecure. They think they want to date a Playboy model, but she's like, I've seen this a million times.
Yeah.
So they become or already are controlling nightmares, and all of that comes out. Because if you're the type of guy who only wants to marry someone because she's a Playboy model, that means that you don't really have anything. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, it just, it screams red flag and insecurity.
And you would think that a guy like that wouldn't make it through to be on a reality show.
Also, VH1, what is wrong with you?
I know.
Did you not do a background check?
Well, Megan,
you didn't catch the domestic violence?
That's what I'm saying. Megan says that they did do a background check, but she goes, quote, the background check company must have missed it. But we learn he got it expunged.
Yeah.
To which I was saying, there are certain things that should not be able to be expunged. If you're a 17-year-old kid and you get busted with, like, some pot or whatever, expunge the shit out of that.
Yeah.
But when you have a history of violence, that should not be expunged. No. Anybody looking in your background should be able to find that.
Right. Especially because he was sentenced.
Yes.
You know, like, what?
Yeah. Like, Jasmine would still be alive if that had not been expunged from his record.
So he basically, like, we start hearing these horrible stories of how he would treat Jasmine. And, like, essentially he got mad at her for existing in Vegas. He pushed her into a pool and spent the night in jail for it.
I mean, can you imagine?
Like, it's so, because not only is it violent, but it's also meant to humiliate
her. Yes.
And, like,
pushed her into a pool.
This case of, like, him pushing her into a pool,
yeah,
and, like, because he had to spend a night in jail, like, that was sort of still pending and in the works before she was murdered.
She pressed charges, though.
Yeah.
Like, well, that's interesting. That's an interesting, like, nugget for when we get to the murder here.
Right?
Yeah.
So Jasmine, because Jasmine was starting to talk to her friends about it. Like,
yep,
what do you do? Because her other Playboy model friends,
yes,
saying, like, you must have, like, how do you handle this when a guy gets, like, super angry?
Because Stacey, the one that we met early in the episode, she married her husband after 5 months. So Stacey's like, so Jasmine kind of thought that we were the same. They got married 2 days after they met. We got married 5 months. And, like, Stacey is saying,
she asked me advice on how I handle when things get rough, because he says something like, he gets angry, I don't know how to deal with it. And I go, I understand, my husband gets angry as well. Get him a man cave, try to keep busy. Just basically, like, girls, like, I know, aren't they terrible? Aren't husbands terrible? Just basic girl talk like that.
I have a shitty marriage, but it's not nearly as shitty as, like, if I had known what Jasmine was actually going
and
through.
And it's sort of presented as, like, girl talk, but it's not healthy.
No,
because these
Stacey
are not conversations
saying, like,
you should be having.
I love gathering up with the married Playboy bunnies and talking about how terrible husbands are. I'm like,
these
why
are red flags.
These are all
ladies?
Red flags. Like, you deserve better. Why are
you
all.
You do deserve better.
I know.
It's, like, crazy.
Yeah. The world, like you were saying before, just attracts these kinds of men.
It's these kinds, you know, and it's like, it's women who want to be sexy and powerful.
Yeah.
And then men who really can't handle it once they see that, like, oh, she's a human being.
Exactly.
Because she's traveling a lot.
Yeah.
Like, it ticks a lot of boxes in the, like, will an insecure men like this? No.
No.
She has to travel, then it's jealousy, and then her job is
to be
beautiful
sexy.
And sexy.
Yeah.
It's like, it's never going to work.
No.
You think it's going to work, but you're idiots, all of you. So stop. Walking red flags.
Travel down the road and back again. Girl, Factor is back, and I'm so excited to talk about it because I eat Factor every single day. And not only do I eat Factor every day, Steve now eats Factor every single
day. Well, it's the easiest thing ever because they're like always fresh.
Yes.
They're never frozen meals. The meals are chef crafted, dietitian approved, and you can make them in 2 minutes. So there's no wonder everyone in your household is eating them because it's the easiest thing in the world.
Totally. You literally pop it in the microwave for 2 minutes and it's the freshest, most delicious, like, health conscious food. Each week you have over 35 different options to choose from, including Calorie Smart, Protein Plus, and Keto. So I do the Calorie Smart. I keep all of mine under 550 calories. Steve does the Protein Plus. And it makes it sound like it's not going to be delicious, but it's like a protein and like a grain and a vegetable. And I eat at least one every single day. They are so delicious.
They have so many options. You can have breakfast. You can have a little snack in the morning. You can have dinner. Like, the possibilities are endless.
Yeah. If you hate cooking, it's perfect for you. We do a lot of the pasta-based ones. We do a lot of the chicken-based ones. I cannot say it enough. It's so so fresh. After 2 minutes in the microwave, it is like ready to eat. I hate to cook, but I want to be calorie smart. You're not ordering out. You have your meal right there in front of you. You know exactly what it's going to be. They are delicious.
Yeah, and you're barely cleaning up, by the way.
Yeah.
There's like nothing to clean up because you're not cooking. It's amazing.
Fam, truly, Factory is a major part of my life. It's been a major part of my like health overhaul this year, and I want you to get on it, fam. So head to factormeals.com/obsessed50 and use code obsessed50 to get 50% off.
That's code obsessed50 at factormeals.com/obsessed50 to get 50% off.
And I could not have gotten as healthy as I've gotten this year without Factor. I mean that from the bottom of my heart.
Because you don't have to think about it. It's there. It's ready to go.
Exactly.
June 2009, it's 2 months before Jasmine's murder. And we hear about this evening. So Ryan and Megan, remember from the reality show,
yeah.
They go out to dinner because he called her and was like, I'm kind of a mess.
And she can't say no to him.
And she says,
Ryan looked like he had lost several pounds. His face was very thin. He was very pale. He was shaky. He was paranoid. Ryan told me that Jasmine was ruining his life, but he's also obsessed with her not leaving him because he wants to win.
I can't like let this end because I have to win.
Those what? Words said like that.
They're saying it out loud now?
You're saying it out loud. It's like that's crazy.
But it's like, because Megan's like, he can't accept any rejection, but you hate each other. It's
right.
Mutual.
Yes.
Like, you don't even like each other. Just let her go and live her life.
Well, Megan has an interesting solution.
Yeah.
Megan's like, I convinced him to be on season 3 of VH1's I Love Money because it would force him to be away from Jack. Like, Megan just wants him away from her.
And I guess she can pull some strings because she can get him on a
and
show.
Just get him on a reality show. And I wrote, I did not see this coming.
And he does it.
And he does it.
A few weeks later, in July of 2009, he goes to Mexico to film I Love Money.
Why do they film everything in Mexico? Just because it's beautiful, I guess?
Because it's probably, I don't know what the premise of the show is,
uh-huh.
But it's an excuse to have people in bathing suits totally. A lot, I guess. And like, just gorgeous scenery.
Once again, strangely, no one's ever asked me to be on one of these shows. I don't
can't
understand.
Believe it.
I'm so, right here.
I'm right here. So meanwhile, Jasmine is trying to move on. She's actively trying to get the marriage annulled. She dyed her hair super dark. Like, she's going through it, but she's really trying to, like, get herself back.
Well, and meanwhile, we learn that, like, while Ryan is filming the show, the producers tell Megan he's obsessed with winning the money so he can win Jasmine back.
He's constantly calling Jasmine.
It's just so, like, it's so crazy. Like, he just thinks that that's all these women care about.
But, like, can you have a conversation with her and listen to her?
Exactly.
If you heard anything she said, I'm sure Jasmine would tell you. She's doing fine.
Right.
She's making her own money. She's very successful. Don't worry about it.
Also, this tactic of just blowing up somebody's phone.
It's not working.
Nightmare.
Doesn't work. Stop it. It doesn't work.
If I call one person one time and they don't call me or text me back immediately, I assume they never want to speak to me again.
Oh, they are
and
so
I
mad at
take
you.
The
everyone's mad at me all the time, right? That's accurate.
All the
right?
time. All like, the time.
Constantly? Okay, great. So a few weeks before Jasmine is murdered, Ryan is emailing Jasmine saying,
yes.
like, I love you. I'm going to do better. I need you. And Holly is here to make more good points.
Yes.
Because she's like, it's real easy to talk shit when you're on the outside of a relationship like
yep.
this. Saying, like, why didn't you leave at the first red flag? It's not how it works.
No.
You spend the early part of a relationship seeing the best of a person, and you want to move forward in a relationship thinking it can get better. You think that the first thing that went wrong is a one-time thing. That person apologizes. It can take a lot for the average person to get out of an abusive relationship.
You don't want the person to be horrible. You want to give them the benefit of the doubt.
And like, and even in a more selfish way of looking at it, like every person in Jasmine's life told her she made a mistake for marrying that guy 2 days after.
Oh.
She's got to prove them all wrong.
That's what I did.
Yeah.
I was in a horrible relationship. Everyone around me was telling me it was horrible. And I was like, I'm going to do this relationship even harder. Now.
Yeah,
like
exactly.
You get to a point where you're like, fuck. First of all, I've been in it for so long.
Right.
I don't know who I am outside of it.
Yes.
And then it's like, well, shit. And you very wrongly think that because you've been conditioned that it's like a competition and winning and losing kind of thing
totally.
When you're in an abusive relationship. And then you sort of feel like, well, I can't let them win. No. They want to help you. Everyone's going to be happy when you're in a safer environment. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
but
yes.
When you're in it, you're just like, oh, shit. Because you're so used to everything being keeping score.
Yeah.
And, you know, and everything like sort of being manipulated to be against you. It's fucking wild.
I can't.
I do not recommend.
No, thank you.
When Jasmine's murder hits the news, everyone is disgusting about it.
Yeah.
The top search of the day was nude photos of her. People
I
are
know.
Fucking gross.
I know.
They're disgusting.
I know. But like, of course this becomes an international news story because it's a, like that dirtbag from the beginning said, like it was a Playboy bunny that was murdered and mutilated.
Right.
Like, of course.
And also, like, pretty white woman syndrome, too.
Right,
you know?
Exactly.
But, like, Googling nude photos of her, that was the search.
I know.
Fuck all of you.
So the cops get the phone records for both Jasmine and Ryan, and they learn that the day before Jasmine died, Jasmine and Ryan went to a poker tournament in San Diego.
We had a team of detectives go to San Diego to investigate the poker tournament and the hotel where they stayed.
And it turns out that the hotel has an extensive video system. That's the smoking gun.
And the cops check out their hotel, and we have so much footage.
They should get an Academy Award for their video footage. It's perfect. It's beautiful.
Yeah, it's good. And we see everything.
And there are cameras everywhere.
And the cops are able to piece this all together.
Yes.
So here's what they say happened. August 13th, 2009, 3:28 p.m., they arrive at the hotel. We see them pulling up in Jasmine's Mercedes.
And Jasmine, when they said in Jasmine's Mercedes, I said out loud, yes, bitch.
Yes.
Yes.
That's what, like, she was, Ryan.
I know.
She was doing just fine.
I know.
She was very successful. So they see the luggage. They go to their room.
Well, they notice that one of the pieces of luggage is the suitcase that her body is going to be found in, like, the next day.
So,
like, but, how ominous is that?
I know. And she is in her Mercedes thinking that she's just going to...
I know.
But also when you're in a relationship like that, you know it's just going to be a bad weekend.
Yeah.
You know that it's just something you have to get through. What's he going to fight about now? What's he going to pick on me about now? You know, it's like,
oh, God.
So they go to their room. They get, like, all ready for the night. 6:25, they leave the room all dressed up for this tournament. Because remember, Jasmine is looking for a way out. She saw her ex-husband. Like, she's talking to her friends about it. So during the poker tournament, Jasmine is texting a guy named Robert Hassel. And he's an ex-boyfriend and, like, a super rich realtor in Vegas.
Yeah. And she's just saying that, like, we learned that, like, he spent all kinds of money on her, like, really showed her the high life.
On the night she goes missing, she sends a text to Robert Hassman saying, send a plane for me. Come get me. I'm coming back to Vegas to be with you. I am done with Ryan Jenkins.
I'm done with Ryan Jenkins. I wrote, send a plane for
me.
Send a plane
for me. But that's like a way. So she's telling someone, she's making a plan.
Yes.
She wants to get away from him. And she's like, okay, let me just use this private plane.
This guy is send a plane for me, Rich. Like, that's how rich this guy is.
What?
I know.
So, of course, because this train is never late, they get in a fight at the poker game, Ryan and Jasmine. It's a bad fight. They need to leave. But instead of going home, they end up going out to another, like, hotel nightclub called the Ivy.
Yeah.
They get there at 12:30. The fight continues.
Witnesses say the fight continues. So, like, they find people who saw them later. They are, like, what a terrible night.
And, like, you can probably see it on the footage from the bar. Yeah. They're just like, oh, there's a couple fighting, you know?
Ugh.
And the cops think, and I agree, that it's because he saw the text from her ex-boyfriend.
Of course.
To her ex-boyfriend. But what's weird is that the last text that Jasmine sends to this boyfriend is two words, suck it.
Because obviously Ryan sent that text.
Yeah, you don't have
message.
To be Columbo to figure it out.
And another thing.
Just one more thing. But the cop is like, the cop who's with us who works this case is just like, there's no way Jasmine sent that.
No,
like,
but
no way.
We also now have motive for murder because he saw the text that made him crazy and we know he saw that because there's no way Jasmine sent that text.
No, there's no way.
No.
She needs his plane. You're going to be nice to the guy.
Yes,
honestly,
totally.
Like, she wants to get away from him.
Yes.
Like, please. So they leave the club at 1:30 and they go back to the poker tournament to get Jasmine's car.
Yep.
And this is the last time anyone sees Jasmine. And they leave the casino. And I'm like, they just keep going to different places to fight. Just go home.
I mean, they're like, they seem so invested in the fight.
It's so, like,
it's
hard
so
to watch
toxic.
And hear about. It's so bad. Because you know that, like, now it just feels like he's trapped her.
Yes.
Like, she wanted to leave. She was so close to being on a plane out of there.
Yep.
And then, like, ugh. So we don't have Ryan on tape again.
Well, they leave the casino at 2:30 in the morning.
Right.
And we don't see Ryan again. We never see Jasmine again.
No.
But we don't see Ryan again until 4:30 in the morning, which leaves a two-hour period where something happened.
And here's what the cops say happened.
Yeah.
Ryan saw the texts. He lost his shit. He started beating up Jasmine in her car.
Yes.
And the way their room was set up is that they had access to their room from this back patio parking lot,
which wasn't visible to cameras,
and you didn't have to go through the front entrance and walk through the hotel, so it was like a private,
because I was thinking in that 2-hour window he killed her, but no, he just beat the living shit out of her and then had to smuggle her still alive and conscious into the hotel in a way that people wouldn't see her
because they found Jasmine's blood and hair on that patio,
right? So we know, and we know she was alive back in the room because the neighbors, like, that share walls in this hotel heard them fighting,
right?
But we also know that she's not seen on camera coming into the hotel any other way, so she had to have been brought in through that back door,
right?
Which is, like, so terrifying if you're Jasmine, like, you know what's gonna happen,
right? Right. And in the middle of telling us the story, they also just say, oh, by the way, there's an international manhunt out for Ryan.
Yeah.
And 3 weeks into Meghan Wants a Millionaire, that's a wrap on the show because VH1, of course, pulled the show.
I mean, they announced that he's like the number one person of interest on episode 4.
Yeah.
I mean, oh my God.
Sorry, Meghan.
Yeah.
But Meghan's also doing fine.
Yeah.
You don't need a millionaire, girl. You got this.
Totally. That's why we never heard of that show. Meghan says, like, that killed my modeling career. It killed my reality TV career.
Yeah, because then it's like, you're Meghan from that show with the guy
with
who
the
killed
murderer.
His girlfriend.
Yeah.
Ugh.
I mean, oh my God.
So, but the cops say, like, here's what happened to Jasmine. She was strangled to death in that hotel room.
Yeah.
And then as an afterthought, he's thinking, how do I keep her from being found? If they find her, I don't want them to identify her. I believe he took her into the bathtub shower area and cut off her fingers. I believe he flushed them down the toilet, and teeth fragments were still inside of her mouth and inside the bag.
If you really think about this, this man escalated from like beating his girlfriend in Canada to beating Jasmine basically to death and then dismembering her body.
Yeah.
The amount of crazy you have to be to have the thought, I'm going to cut off her fingers and remove her teeth. And then to be able to actually do it.
Yeah.
I can't imagine how absolutely out of your mind, insanely sick you have to be.
Well, the thing is, the thing that pushed him is seeing in writing that she was trying to leave.
Yes.
That, like, you can't leave. You don't leave.
For a guy who actually has money, a guy who's actually a success story.
You can't do that.
Yeah.
To an insecure walking red flag. Oh, absolutely not.
My God.
Then they say that he put her body in the luggage and took the luggage out that back patio area. And the next time we see Ryan is at 6:24 in the morning. He's leaving the hotel. He's carrying all his shit in his hands.
Yep.
Not in any, he doesn't have any luggage.
Nope.
He drives down the freeway. He finds the dumpster that person found Jasmine's body in.
Yep.
And now he's on the run.
Like, oh my God.
He's
on
the run.
They're able to track him because they can track him with his phone because they've gotten the phone records or whatever. We learned he goes to Vegas, goes to his storage unit where he gets a boat. He's got a boat in storage.
He's got a boat?
Hitches it to his BMW, drives to Washington State. The cops are seeing this in real time. They notify the border. They're like, oh, there's a murderer on the run trying to get into Canada.
The Coast Guard, see, he's on the water now.
The United States Coast Guard spots Ryan Jenkins in this boat. It's at night. It's high seas. Ryan's out in the open ocean in his boat. They're trying to stop him, but they literally lost him.
There's a boat chase. Lose him.
They lose it. This is wild. This is one of the wildest stories I think we've ever covered.
Ryan won the boat chase.
He wins the boat chase.
The cop is like, they literally lost him.
I know.
He's like, don't look at me. I couldn't do it. I was on land. I tried my best.
But he brings the boat and parks it at a marina a half mile from the Canadian border on the American side because he knows that, like, in the wilderness, there is no border security. There's just, they call it a ditch.
He can just walk over the border.
Anyone can walk through the woods into Canada or vice versa.
Okay.
He would have gotten stopped if he had tried to like pull into a marina in his boat.
Right, of course. So his sister picks him
up. Oh my, where? Someone get eyes on the sister, please.
Picks him up, drives him to some shitty motel, and Ryan Jenkins kills himself.
Yes.
Because he knows. He's caught.
He leaves a note. The note says, and the first part I'm not paraphrasing. He says, I'm sure you think I'm a monster.
Absolutely right.
But let me tell you, Jasmine was a far greater monster than I could ever
be. It's a victim blaming letter.
He's saying that Jasmine was a monster because she let me love her so much that I couldn't live without her.
So Jasmine is a monster, but also the key to his happiness.
Exactly.
What are you saying?
Yeah. She's such a monster because she let me love her so much and then wouldn't let me have her. So I had to kill her and then kill myself.
No, you should have stopped with, I'm sure you all think I'm a monster, period.
Oh,
end of
my
sentence,
God.
End of statement. Enough. You are a fucking monster.
Yes.
I don't think it. I know it. And so it ends with Holly Madison saying, like,
this case is an extreme example of the glamour, you know, that you see from the outside, it just not measuring up in real life.
Because there was such a time where it was like the mansion, getting invited to a mansion party, that it was all like gorgeous and sex and partying and all this amazing stuff. And there's like tragedy behind the scenes. And I think it was a way to show the story as like episode one of the darkness.
Have you watched other of these? Are they as I mean, like a fucking international boat chase?
I don't know if there's an international boat chase coming up. But yeah,
you can't
promise
me another international boat chase.
I'll see what I can do. But no, it's just like, it's really this like dark, seedy side of Playboy.
Well, and it's also all these people have money. You know what I mean? You can only be in this world as a man if you have money.
Right. Even though Ryan didn't have any money, he still had enough to sort of buy his way through.
Had enough to have a beamer and a fucking boat. You know what I mean?
Like, can you do background checks? Can you ask a single question? The show is called Megan Wants a Millionaire.
Canada, can you not expunge the records of violent criminal offenders? Like, because VH1 did the... I'm not defending VH1, but they did the background check. But they got this expunged. That, to me, is like, we might not be here if that hadn't happened.
But also, they said, VH1, they were just like, how much money do you have? And he was like, 2.5. And they were like,
great.
Good enough for me.
Sounds good.
Not like I'm saying, you know, it's like, I know it's a reality show, but like, a lot of people didn't do a lot of things. And Jasmine's star was rising and rising and rising. Yeah. And once again, some fucking insecure, idiotic man ruined it.
Yes.
Fuck you, Ryan Jenkins.
Fuck you, Jenkins.
And your sister. Sister, give me a break.
Oh my God, girl, we did, what's it called?
So this is the Playboy Murders, the series. It's the first episode. It's the murder of Jasmine Fury. I'm not going to say the stupid name.
Oh my God. Fam, join us on the Patreon. We're doing tons of live events. We're doing virtual drag bingo every month. We're doing happy hour hangouts. But also, there's just so much content over there. It's where we do our episode by episode content. We did Love Has Won.
Love Has Won.
Natalia Grace, we're doing.
We're doing both seasons.
Yes. We're doing, what's the one in the middle?
We're doing Lost Women of Highway 20.
Yes. And then we're doing Twin Flames.
Yeah. Ms. Octavia Spencer is behind Lost Women of Highway 20.
Yeah, it's all really crazy wild. Join the Facebook group. Meet your friends in there. Come join me for the watch party.
Yeah.
It's a really fun way to get together and just kind of hang out.
Yeah.
What are we doing next?
So we are doing, it's a documentary from Australia.
Ooh.
It's called The Disappearance and Murder of Lynn Dawson. It's the Teacher's Pet Podcast case.
Oh. Okay, great.
Lynn Dawson.
All right, well, stay tuned for the trailer for that.
Spoiler, there's another shitty man in this one, too. Can't escape him. God, they're everywhere.
Oh, my God. All right, we love you, fam.
We love you.
Except for you. We're not talking about you. Unless we are talking about
you. If you're a shitty man, I wish you a horrible day. Have the day you fucking deserve, you piece of shit.
Bye.
Love you, women. Love you. Bye.
Everyone has a theory about what happened to Lynette Dawson. She was a nurse, a loving mother and a loving family person.
Brother Paul and the others was going to propose a toast.
Oh, Lynette.
People are connected to it because they were just such a normal suburban family. And then suddenly it all went wrong.
An older man, a very attractive man, a young schoolgirl, an infatuation, a wife, and the possibility that she was murdered to make way for that relationship to flourish. I think that's what I would call the eternal triangle. And that's why it captured the public imagination.
The most important thing to us is to find her where she is, to lay her to rest.
You know what else is, like, super straight?
What?
Like, wanting to do, like, the SpaceX trip to outer space. That feels very straight to me.
Really? Why?
Yeah, I don't know why. I don't know why. It just feels very straight.
Space is cool.
I agree. Yeah. But wanting to, like, but I feel like a good gay would just be an astronaut. You know what I mean? Like, to do, like, the SpaceX, like, you know, $400,000.
So what are you talking about? That's not...
The one that anyone can do. The space tourism, you know, like, the SpaceX thing.
Oh, okay.
Feels very straight
like,
to me.
That's like
Elon Musk,
billionaire.
Yeah.
Bored billionaire.
Totally.
Insecure. Like they can't just be an astronaut. They have to like pay for the privilege. That's
nothing
annoying.
In the world is straighter than golf, except for a bored billionaire.
A bored billionaire.
You know what I mean?
That's it.
That's even straighter than golf.
Ugh. Worst. I don't know.